It's about time, ladies and gentlemen. The Wealth Nation is in the building. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, another episode of the Cash Compound Podcast. We've got Darius and Carmen in the building. That's right. Wealth Nation is here. And after years of stalking this power couple, we have finally, maybe we have arrived on the level. I don't know. I think they might put me back in my place on this, but we're so thankful and happy to have them on our episode. So welcome, guys. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you for the invite. We really appreciate you even considering us to be invited on your podcast.
Yes, the pleasure is ours. Thank you so much. It just, after the connection that we made just a few weeks ago, we've just been dying to reconnect with you guys and see what powerful transformations we can create together.
Wonderful. Well, let's start there and move backward. We finally met. Like I said, we've been stalking you guys for a long time, and you've had a wonderful YouTube presence as well as a community, but we saw each other at the Nelson Nash Institute Think Tank 2024. When we saw you guys walk in the building, I always feel like imposter syndrome hits me because we've learned so many things from folks like you on your channel. So what's your connection to the NNI? That was my second time there with my brother Jonah from the Cash Compound, but we hadn't seen you there in the previous year. So how have you guys been connected over the years to that particular group?
So, well, we went to the Nelson Nash Institute probably 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the very first time we went, it was just so enlightening because obviously we're students of Nelson. You know, we drank his juice long time ago. And so we have always just been thumping the good book, the Becoming Your Own Banker book, and teaching from that. And it's just always been the foundation of what we teach. And we've in our own way tried to show as much respect to Nelson because we very much honor what he's been able to teach us and what our mentors have been able to teach us through this whole system. And so it was just really, really amazing to reconnect with the group. We hadn't been in the past 2 years just because business building, timing, things didn't work, parenting. And then finally we broke out and we're like, we got to get out again. We got to start networking and meeting people and getting out of our YouTube basement.
especially for the location. When it was in Vegas, we found out Vegas is like, oh, okay, yeah, we definitely got to go to Vegas. Yeah.
I think a lot of folks are like that. We got some fair weather players out here. So you got the people who are in no matter what happens. And then we got Wealth Nation. Oh, it's in Vegas, so we'll show up. So I just want y'all to be realizing that out there in the world. Okay, no, it was so great to see you guys. And I think that being the largest event that the NNI experience has been, 275 plus, was partially due, of course, to beautiful Las Vegas. And it was nice because we were actually in Henderson, you know, the city that surrounds Vegas, for those of you know the area. We were at a resort, Green Valley, I think it was called. It was very nice. Could see Vegas, but nobody went down there, so nobody died. So that was a beautiful part, right? You did. I was in Vegas, but I was not in Vegas, so I can only handle so much. Who are some of the people that you've been mentored by, and you have maybe, I'm assuming, we got started around the same time in this journey on a personal level, 2016, I think. So I want to hear your story in a minute, but I'm assuming then you guys have also gleaned lots of information from some of the people in that room, and you're able to reconnect with them. So who are some of your favorites kind of in that community, or some of your friends that maybe I don't know yet, but you were expecting to see there?
So one person in particular we hung out with was Denzel Rodriguez. Denzel Rodriguez is a personal friend of ours, and it was his first time at the think tank. So he was one of the people that I think we initially did an interview with, and our video just kind of took off and put us on this trajectory to where we're at 100,000 subscribers. So Denzel's one of those peoples. Mm-hmm. Nate Scott was probably the first person that we ever seen as an agent talking about infinite banking and with clients and things of that nature. So Nate Scott was another individual there. Let me see. There's a laundry list of people. Tim Urich is a legend. Who else?
Well, and also we have to give the most credit to Ray Poteet. Ray Poteet is the individual who introduced us to this concept. He was a pioneer in the sense of how he knew how to use policies. And that really blew our minds because a lot of times we always come from this technical aspect, right? Of how to design policies, how to get maximum growth and things like that. And that's fine. We should. And at the same time, we should appropriately know how to use policies as responsibly. I'm going to say that again, as responsibly as possible, paying back our loans and all of those things. So Ray really blew our minds as far as like how we can communicate to the public the beauty of what a policy can do for you and your family.
I love it. And of course, you know, we all missing Ray down here. He was actually the first person to walk my brother and I in early 2016 through what infinite banking was about. And you're right. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just about the product design. It was about utilizing it, understanding the trajectory and flow of money. And he had these plane acronyms, his airline. I know what he was talking about, but I've still got it recorded. Maybe one day I'll understand what it is. But now he's flying up there with the Angels and Nelson, and they're duking it out on how they wanted to experience and teach it. Not experience it, but teach it to other people, because we know they were friends back in the day as Nelson introduced this to Ray. And Ray's had so many children. He's like Father Abraham, right? He had many sons out here, because so many of us really learned something about this through some sort of lineage of Ray Poteet. So it was beautiful to see a reunion of some of his students out there. Okay, so I want to know about how it got introduced to you all. But before that, I want to go back. Before you were doing infinite banking, before you were introduced from those folks who are just, you know, hey, this ain't Kansas anymore. They're telling us new stuff about money. For those of you who don't know, the Poteet clan, they're Kansas people. How'd you grow up? How'd you grow up? What was money like as a conversation in your homes as children? Mm.
Well, interesting enough, I wanted just to say this one thing. Carmen was born in Lawrence, Kansas.
All right.
Ray is actually my uncle. my parents were best friends, so we have a long line of personal connections. But I was born in Lawrence, Kansas, so shout out to that. But I don't really claim Lawrence, Kansas, because we moved out to the East Coast soon after I was born.
Oh, okay. Ain't that something? Okay. Well, I did not know that. Okay. Well, hey, put another shrimp on the Barbie. We all family out here. What are we talking,
you know? There you go. Now we know.
Okay. So once you guys got to the East Coast, how'd you talk about money? Now, Darius, you're South Carolina roots, man. So tell us more about your upbringing and how the conversation was in your family.
So my conversation around money, I grew up in a lower middle class, Carolina style, Sumter, South Carolina, where my parents very much were blue collar workers. And I didn't have anything that I necessarily wanted that I didn't have. I had everything that I needed. But the conversations that were brought back home after having the experience of being in the workforce wasn't as pleasant as something that I would want to experience for myself. So I knew around the conversation of money that I needed to be thinking something differently, because they might say one thing and then the feeling that they have behind that, what they're saying, is different. And it's more about what you do and not necessarily as much as what you say. And I very much got that experience growing up. And then as I got older, I wanted to change that narrative a little bit.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. I think in a way I could experience that as a child too, mentally, and go down that path where money wasn't a taboo subject in our family. We could talk about it, but we didn't have any. So what was there to talk about? We wanted things to be different and look different. So I knew that, and I even had a conversation with my mother when I was in college at one point, and I said, Mom, respectfully, I'm going to put some respect on it, but I mean, by the time I'm your age, I got to be doing better than this. And she said, well, I hope so. I would suggest that. So. Yeah. And I said, oh, I thought she'd be mad. She was like, no, it ain't pretty out here. Why don't you do better than we did? So, Carmen, why don't you talk about your upbringing a little bit prior to IBC? How were you growing up? What were you doing as a young adult before you guys were introduced to this concept? What was happening in your mind when it came to money?
Yeah. So like Darius was saying, I grew up on the opposite end of the spectrum, I would say. I grew up in an upper middle class background. So
we were always the token.
Yeah, right. We were always the token minorities in, you know, the white neighborhoods and things like that. And so what I always saw money was an expression of things. And what I mean in the sense of like what you had a nice car, you had nice houses, you had nice things, right? Because it's all about keeping up with the Joneses. And then overnight, unfortunately, my dad's business failed and we had absolutely nothing. So I saw us having, you know, the white picket fence, literally, and then literally moving in with an aunt so that, you know, we could have shelter. And it was really interesting seeing both dynamics and going from, wow, like we looked pretty snazzy, but now we don't look on the outside so snazzy. And that really kind of changed my perspective as far as money and why we needed money, because also too, I can say for myself, because I have three older brothers as well, but just for myself was like, money was almost an identity in the sense of if I didn't have enough money, who am I? And stripping that mentality away from all of that was a process in itself. But I think I can say as I moved on to becoming an adult and into corporate America, it was also having that pull and push and pull of the lifestyle that I used to know, which was having money, and then the lifestyle I knew, which was valuing time and relationships and not letting money define you.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because one thing that I was thinking is kind of the opposite end of the spectrum is going from the lower middle class household that I was in. And then when I went to college, I ended up transferring from South Carolina State to Southern Polytech in Marietta, Georgia. And I lived in Alpharetta, Georgia, and the neighborhood that I lived in with my uncle was completely different from what I experienced growing up. Like people actually waking up to run in the neighborhood, people walking dogs. That was different seeing that for me. And it kind of put things into perspective around the conversation of money. And that's when I realized what the kind of like the class that we were in. Because it wasn't the one that I was in college.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting thought that reminds me of a movie, actually. I wonder if you guys have seen it, called In Time, Justin Timberlake movie. It's kind of like a B-level movie, you know, like A-level movies, B-level movies. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a Hunger Games type of feel. So have Hunger Games meets this aspect of if you're in the main capital district, everybody... Hold on. The premise is that if you run out of time, time is money. If you run out of time, you die. And so everybody has this watch that's built into their wrist. When you go to work, you earn time. And so as long as you have time on your clock, you stay alive. But if it ever hits zero, you die. And the idea here is in his lower district, right? That's, how, of course, the up-and-coming story here, District 12 or whatever he lives in, everyone's always in a hurry because they don't have very much time. They work hard. Mm. They get paid little. They've got inflation issues, right? This week when you work, they don't give you as much time. But in the Capital District, where Darius moving on up to the east side, right, with his uncle— those people walk slow. They've got plenty of time because they have so much time on their clock. So there's nothing to be rushed about, because that time and kind of like what you said, Carmen, that relationship energy, you got plenty of time for it. But on the lower side, if we ever run out and it hits zero, you go to anyway. I'm gonna send you guys a link to that. You gotta check out that movie. So now I want to know is how did infinite banking come into your life? And what was that fight like? Whoever saw it first?
Well, the interesting thing, I think that the saga bringing all of it together, right? So knowing both of our backgrounds, and also once we got married, we realized that like, hey, we like each other. Like we actually want to spend time with each other. Exactly what you were saying, Jeremiah. And we recognized that our corporate jobs were keeping us from spending time together. And we always knew at some point we were going to create a business. We weren't sure what it was. And when Darius got laid off from corporate America, that sped up the trajectory of us starting a business, because we recognized that we weren't in control of our lifestyle. Like how we always say, own your own lifestyle. Like we weren't in control in that element where we were dependent on two incomes, mine and his. And was when his went away, we were like, whoa, okay, what a wake up call. We need to fix this and plug the leaks. And from there, it started us in this trajectory of starting a real estate business. And so we got into real estate because that's what everybody else was doing, right? Honestly, it was the sexy thing to do. That's how you make more money. And we were just really trying to figure out our place because there's so many different disciplines in real estate. And we were like, well, flip. No, we don't like that. Well, wholesale. We didn't really like that. You know, we'll buy and hold. We don't really like that because we don't want tenants calling us all types of, you know, all kinds of day. And we kept going back to the core message, which was we want time with each other. And so we stumbled across lending. Because we just had like dinner with a friend who was like, man, I need $25,000 for a deal. And we were like, you know someone with $25,000. And he was like, put me in contact with them. So then we connected them and then they were able to do a deal. And then he came back to us again and was like, hey, do you know someone else who has another 20? And we're like, yeah, we do. Because we're corporate professionals and we know people who have monies locked up in 401ks at the time. And it just kind of grew from there. And we're like, oh, we can be middlemen. We can lend money, connect the real estate investor with the private money lender. And it just kind of blossomed from there. And speaking about Ray, so Ray, our mentor in this infinite banking game and also part of my family, we were just visiting with him one day. And we knew that he invested in real estate. And we mentioned to him like, hey, we want to do this real estate deal. Do you want to go in on it with us? And we showed him our fancy portfolio and the pitch deck that we gave him, and he didn't look at it.
It was binded and everything.
Yeah, we spent money on that thing, you know? We went to Staples and made it look pretty, and he didn't even look at it. And he was like, I'll give you $50,000. We're like, I'm sorry, what? And, you know, in that time, especially as a new investor, you're like, you know, dying for that money with like, you know, legitimate terms and a good turnaround. And he didn't want it back in 6 months. He didn't want it back in a year. He, you know, we were just like, what is going on? Like, you don't want your money back like immediately? And he was like, no, if you pay me back sooner, I'm going to charge you. And we're like, what is up with this dude? Like, who's this guy? You know, and that's when we recognized that our level of consciousness with wealth and money management needed to ascend because we were not on his level. The conversation that he was having was something that our brains at that time couldn't even compute. And once the check cleared and we got the money, we were like in his office the next day. It was like, yo, how does this happen?
Right. And I'm not taking this money. Like, I'm not taking this money unless you explain something. Right.
You're right.
Exactly. And he was like, oh, I use my life insurance policy. And I think just from that quick conversation, we were like, no, we don't want your life insurance policy money. You know, like we don't want to take from your family thinking that like we're pulling from the death benefit or something, like your family might need that, you know. But, and that was just our ignorance at the time with life insurance and the capabilities that came with it. And that's when he schooled us and he sat us down and said, no, this is how this works. And from then on, we went to Brent's presentations. Brent gave us our first policy. We probably went to 6 or 7 more of the seminars just to understand and connect and digest. And from that moment, we used our first policy to start helping us pay off our debt that we had built in building our business. And we were hooked from there.
Love to hear it. Now, I want to hear the Wealth Nation story. So how did that spawn? And you guys decided earlier than the cash compound. Now, my first policy is 9 years and a week old today as we record, March of 2016. I think you guys I think you guys started somewhere around that era. But got into the game helping people understand this as well. So what made you think, you know what, we need to be educating others? And how did that story kind of germinate?
So with our first loan that we got from Ray, it took us a while for it to kind of process in our mind what was actually going on. So that was one of the reasons that we wanted to start this journey of Wealth Nation. But then because we were in the real estate, we were in real estate and we knew a lot of other investors who were looking for money. And we're saying to ourselves, guys, you don't have to work that hard anymore. Just get you some policies and use your own cash value and finance your own deals and you get to keep more of the money. And in that process, as we kept trying to tell people over and over and over again, we were like, you know what, we should probably just get licensed so that we can legally give them advice on life insurance and how to leverage it.
Yeah.
So that's what Wealth Nation came from.
Very good. So about what time, what era was this? Am I guessing right, 2016 or a little bit after 2017?
Yeah, to 2016, we got our first policy in 2017, like the ink dried on our business. Mm-hmm. So on the business docs. So we basically were doing a lot of preaching during that time. And as we were talking to friends and family, like, hey, look at what this thing can do, you know, and people were like, how do I get one of those? That's when we realized, like, maybe we can make a business out of this thing. Like, maybe we can help some people do some really amazing things. And that's when
I remember thinking the same thing, but I was having a harder time trying to explain it to my friends and family. I think you guys just had, you've been a little closer to your mentorship and trying to explain this to other people. So what advice would you give, or tell me a challenging story that you guys had trying to connect the dots from your brain into your friends and family who hadn't heard it yet? Because a lot of folks out there, including your clients and mine, they're like, I love it. And all I'm doing is getting into arguments.
Right.
Such a great question. Thank you for
friends,
asking that.
Now, just to give you a little context, friends are a little easier than family. And I say that because family always sees you as the kid that they remember changing their diapers. So they always want to look at you as like your nickname.
Oh, that Darius, you know, exactly.
You're so smart. You're an engineer. Yeah, you're supposed to do stuff like that.
So a phenomenal question. And here's where we learned very quickly was, I'm using the jargon technobabble, meaning we were too technologically in the weeds of like how the cash value works, how it grows, the compound interest, the loan versus with the withdrawals versus this, versus that, versus premium. Recapturing. You know, we were throwing all of those words out there and people were like, what are you talking about? You know, and so we had to, we were literally networking 4 and 5 days a week, just talking to anybody that would talk to us. And the best part about that was because we were already used to networking from real estate, next deal, next deal, next deal, next deal, right? So we were able to practice a lot with our peers, with the networking groups. And it wasn't until we realized when we went to those networking opportunities where we were like, these people are trying to sell a business just like I'm trying to sell a business. So these aren't the people that I need to be talking to because their ear isn't ready because they're just trying to promote their business. Everyone that comes to this networking event is trying to eat. You know what I mean? And so once we made that distinction, we were then like, okay, who can we talk to? And once we broke down those barriers of stop talking about the policy and how it works and what benefits it offers, that's when we were able to open more doors. And so what we really focused on was us working the system. So like we said, using our policy to pay off debt. And we were able to say, hey, you know how we paid off our debt? And then that changes the conversation as opposed to, you know about this policy that has all this cash value and it grows and the base premium and the PUA and the dividends and all of this. Like, it's just, hey, I paid off my debt. I use a life insurance policy. Dangle the carrot, right? What do you mean a life insurance policy? And then that's where you can slowly get into the conversation of, I have this life insurance policy that grows cash. And instead of me using my income, I use the cash in the policy to pay everything down. So you end up getting all of your money back. So it's just about the conversation and how it works. And we were also really fortunate enough. I know this is a long-winded answer, so I apologize, but we were also really fortunate enough to have a friend in our sphere who was also a YouTuber. And she was our client. And she said, you know what, when I'm up at night and I have all these questions, like, it would be really nice to just turn you guys on YouTube and like listen to you talk about these policies so that when I'm thinking at 3 a.m. in the morning about how my cash value works, like, you're just there. And so we started our YouTube channel because we, again, didn't understand how YouTube worked. We just thought we were creating this video library for our clients for like frequently asked questions. And little did we know that the entire world can access YouTube and find your videos all over the world. And that's really where Wealth Nation got started.
I love it. I was an early subscriber compared to the 100,000 or so. I see your YouTube accolade sitting there on the shelf. And I wasn't the first person to come in, but I did learn many things from you. And it seems as like the benefit conversation, we paid off our debt and other things you're probably saying, is really where you came up with the phraseology, own your own lifestyle. That seems to be how you guys focus on it. Is that, how would you explain it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Life insurance is one of our only products that you can sell where you can get half your own supply and you can really become the product. And the lifestyle that we want to have is we want to own it. Because in every direction we look, we see where we look at our money and the flow of our money is going to someplace else. But this is the only process or system that we can create for ourselves to where the money's going to our own system and we can leave that for the next generation after us. So it's us owning that process.
I love it.
So the idea is to own your own lifestyle.
And because of that, you guys have been able to take your lifestyle abroad and other places, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a really amazing thing to see how using your policies, again, responsibly can really pay off. And so going back to the time and the relationships and the thing that has always been so important for us in the core was as we were working in corporate America, we said we wanted to be location independent. We wanted to be able to work wherever we can. And so we stretched that by taking the show on the road to the Dominican Republic. And that was really phenomenal to be like, wow, internet works out here.
In Colombia.
Yeah, we've really stretched just being able to see what we can do. Because again, when we go back to this lifestyle ownership piece of it, we're testing the waters and trying to figure out at what point of our lives can we outsource? Can we own? Can we, you know, really take full advantage of? Because the whole point of life is to live it. And you can't live it if you're stuck in the mud and in the weeds of the woulda, shoulda, couldas. And we try to embrace life as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, and I would say every move came with a different experience. I know especially for myself, coming from South Carolina, I went from South Carolina, moved to Georgia. And from Georgia, I started working in Texas. Then that's where Carmen and I, we got engaged. And every time we moved to a different place, I found that there was something that a different level that I grew to where I could have a different conversation and a different experience. And as we moved from Texas to Arizona, that's where we started doing infinite banking. And in looking back at our experience, we were like, okay, what's the biggest move that we can make to where we really get to know about ourselves and our struggles as we struggle together? Like Carmen and I's relationship comes from us figuring things out together. We moved to another country. And in that experience, not only did it bring us closer together, it brought us closer together to, okay, what really makes a difference when we're talking about any type of concept is the individuals and what they're willing to realize about themselves as keeping them from accomplishing some of the goals that they say they want to accomplish or being the best versions of themselves.
I love to hear that. So Darius, tell me more about when you rise up to that next level. Some of the things that we talk about at the Cash Compound and the premise on which we started this journey, my brother and I was like, we're going to break this down for people who are like us. We're going to talk to a person who didn't get past financially in education. They didn't get past high school. So we went to class, we got okay grades, but then we didn't understand how money really works, as they may have said out of Ray's office or Brent Kessler or some of those people who are our early mentors. So as we learn and grow, we felt we needed to reach back and grab onto other people. We talk a little bit about that in some of our keynote presentations and things that you guys have seen us do. But sometimes we find that hard for people to grasp. Not everybody wants to reach up and move up. Sometimes we're trying to level up and we're trying to help those folks come along with us and they're not ready or they don't want to come. Have you experienced that? Some of the folks would maybe you grew up with or some people in your family.
Yeah, 100%, 100% with family, with friends that I grew up with. It's you have to build a space for people that are ready. Like it's hard to pull a horse that doesn't want to be pulled. Like it outweighs you 8-10 times. So you have to take people with you that actually want to come because there's less friction. And that's what I realized with family is they may not be ready now, but as I become the product and show them the lifestyle that I'm living through managing my own lifestyle through my finances, then it would introduce another way of them seeing the process. Mm-hmm.
I love to hear that.
And I think also
it's also too stripping the emotion away from it as much as you possibly can. I know that that's difficult because we've even, I mean, had difficulties to the point where like maybe relationships have been affected because of how passionate we were about like, yo, get up out of this struggle. Like we're here to help you. And they just don't want it. And it was at that point we had to really humble ourselves and realize like, God can't move a parked car. And which I learned that quote from a student today. when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And so what we have to continue to do is create a safe space where people can come whenever they're ready to learn about how to own their own lifestyle or to manage their money better. Because the other thing too, as we recognize is like going back to money being taboo. A lot of people have so much emotion wrapped around money that they're not ready to even have that conversation. And you have to respect their boundaries. You have to respect what they're giving you because either they're not comfortable or they're ashamed or there could be, you know, some other interesting things that happen with money where again, you just have to show up as a safe space. Like, hey, I got you whenever you're ready. And you just have to leave it at that. And it's been a process with us learning that.
And understanding our own journeys. Yeah. Like even to the point where you talk about like having and then not having, mm-hmm. or for me not having and then experiencing having, but it wasn't even mine. Mm-hmm. So it's our experiences around money that we have to come to grips with initially so that we can move on to the next phase of really putting to practice some of the things that we've learned. We're already practicing the things that we know, but we need to learn different things that we're putting energy in that may not go with the intention that we want for ourselves.
Yeah. And lastly on that point too, is you have to be really careful with pushing people past their comfort zones because we know we've done that and it was just out of love, right? We want the best for our family. We want them to get a policy. We want them to succeed. And then they're not able to keep that policy on the books because we stretch them financially or that there wasn't.
Or we own a policy now.
or there wasn't a lot of truth going into that conversation, right? You know, maybe a lot of, yeah, I can do it. I got it. And then when the bill comes like, no, I actually don't got this. So again, it's just about going back to when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And you gotta stick with that because you never want to jeopardize relationships because you feel that you know better than your friend or your family or your client.
Now tell me what's next for Wealth Nation. What are you guys working on now? What's your community like? How's your subscribership? And you know, where can we find more information about what we're going to see you guys build in the future?
Well, we are really, really excited, Jeremiah. We told you and Jonah when we were in Vegas how, you know, so some life things that we have recently been through has really transformed our outlook on life and how we use policies and to be completely transparent. We've talked about on our channel. We lost our second daughter at 9 months. And when that death benefit check hit our bank account, like the game changed for us in the sense of recognizing as life insurance agents, the responsibility that we have to teach not only our clients, but anybody who will listen at this point, the power of what life insurance can do in your time of need. And really it was at that moment where we're fortunate enough where we've built our lifestyle where, you know, we were never banking on the death benefit, but to know like everything that we've talked about as far as like generational wealth and building a family trust and building a nonprofit organizations and whatever the case may be, it's like, wow, that was seed money. Like where we come from, that wouldn't have been possible without this knowledge that we've been able to apply.
And the people we surrounded ourselves with.
Yeah. And through her life, she gave us a new perspective of life because now we know how beautiful and how lucky we are to have this career. You know, gone are the days of like, oh, the life insurance agents. Like, no, we have the best job in the world because we have the only product that will provide value to you in the times that you need it when you're at your worst. And so I think we have way more pride in our chest. We always have, but you know, when you go through different things, you're like, whoa, you just value things even more. And so for us, you know, we're looking at continuing to build our community. So our community is all about how are you applying your life insurance policies. So, you know, we don't just sell life insurance policies. We teach you how to do life with life insurance. And so, you know, the ins and outs of getting your loans, how are you applying your loans, being able to connect individuals, because we know so many people want to invest. They want to invest together. And if you have deals, like, let's share it. Let's talk. Let's mastermind.
Your network is your net worth. So we want to create a network of individuals, not only using policies, but individuals investing in individuals that have very creative ways of making money, that we want exposure to all of it so that we can apply and learn together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing too with this is also finding a way. We haven't figured it out yet, but we know that this is going to be a part of the business process too, but just finding a way to support our clients when they lose loved ones, or supporting the family when that loved one is lost, because we know the support that we wish we had. So we want to build that within our business to make sure that we're able to support our clients in those opportunities.
It's a beautiful story, and what a legacy that your daughter is bringing to so many people. Starting with you, her parents, of course, who had a vision and a purpose and a plan, but God had a much bigger story as well that she continues to be able to tell, because we can just continue that story through the Wealth Nation legacy. So thank you guys for sharing that and being vulnerable. Obviously, we're in a world and in a profession here that I agree with. I think it's so vital, important. I'm happy to be here. And on top of the hard times that the insurance company will be there for, and your agent can be there for you. On top of that, though, the story will continue. Isn't that a beautiful thing, where it's not just a lament, a dirge, a fish fry, but it's a legacy that continues. So we appreciate that. And encourage you and applaud you to keep that mission going to so many people. That's what we're trying to do as well. I think we're on the same journey. We just call our communities slightly different names, but we're so happy that you guys have taken time with us to be here today. Thank you so much. If you didn't enjoy our conversation with Wealth Nation and Darius and Carmen Britt, then what's wrong with you? Ladies and gentlemen, we loved having them on the show. We've learned so much from them. We hope you did as well. If you'd like to crack the code to cash flow with us, go ahead and give us a ring or a buzz, or just click SaveAndSpendSystem.com.